What's up, everybody? David James Young here for another week of All My Friends Are in Bar Bands. Thanks so much for tuning in and checking this out. All right, a couple of things up top first before we get into this week's episode. Firstly, we are looking at a new date for Bar Bands 100. That was supposed to be taking place on the 17th of March at the Red Rattler, but it looks like pretty much everyone is going to be out of town either for Pool House Party, which is happening down in Melbourne, or through No Front Fences, which is happening down in Canberra. So I'm looking at changing the date to sometime in April, so there'll be more availabilities for everyone. So please keep updated on the Bar Bands Facebook page, and we will have more information on that as it comes, and hopefully we'll have a new date to sort out very, very soon. And as always, if you are enjoying this podcast, please get out there and spread the word any little way that you can. Give us a shout out on Twitter, tell your friends that might be interested in some of the artists that we're talking to. Anything like that. Even consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. For as little as $1 a month, you can help to keep this podcast up online and support every little thing that goes along with it. So, if that is of interest, then you can head over to patreon.com/barbands. That's patreon.com/barbands. Maybe monthly isn't right for you, but you still would like to financially support the podcast in one way or another. That is also something you can do if you go to paypal.me/djywrites. DJYWRITES. You can do a one-off donation there. Make sure you put Bar Bands in the description, and it will go to the right place. So patreon.com/barbands and paypal.me/djywrites. This week's guest is a guy called Evan Klar. Evan is raised in Singapore, born in Perth, raised in Singapore. Spent most of his life living in London. Born to German parents, I believe. So, man of the world, absolutely. This was a really, really interesting one because not only had I never met Stefan is his real name, not only had I never met him, I didn't know anything about him. I was contacted by the crew over at Mucho Bravado when he was in town promoting his single Barefoot. And they asked me if I wanted to speak to him, and I decided to go out on a limb and try it because, yeah, it was a cool experiment to get to know someone that I'd never met, knew nothing about, had never heard the music of. Everything was brand new in this conversation, and I think we hit it off pretty well. Like, he was super, super lovely, and it turns out that he'd had a listen to a few episodes of the podcast, and yeah, was super, super cool about it. So yeah, we recorded this last year before his debut album came out. That album is out now. It is called Deepest Creatures, and you can check it out on Spotify, iTunes, wherever you get your music. He also has a run of dates coming up. A couple of headlining shows. This Saturday, the day after you're hearing this, if you're hearing this the day it comes out, this Saturday he'll be at the Toffin Town in Melbourne. Next Friday he'll be at Brighton Up Bar in Darlinghurst in Sydney. And next Saturday he'll be at the Black Bear Lodge in the Valley in Brisbane. And after that, pretty much all through April, he is going on tour with the Jungle Giants. Alice Ivy as well is on that tour. They'll be hitting up Geelong, Melbourne, Sydney, Maroochydore, Brisbane, Adelaide, and I think a couple of other places as well. So if you're interested, you can definitely go and check this guy out. Yeah, like I said, super lovely, couldn't have gone better. I'm pretty happy with this one. So yeah, let's get into it right now. This is All My Friends Are in Bar Bands with my new friend, Evan Klar. James Young and all my friends are in bar bands. Today, I would like to introduce you to my friend, Evan Clark.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm very well. How are you, sir?
I'm really good, thanks.
We're at Shady Pine Saloon. You can't see this, but we are literally under the head of a reindeer right now.
That's incredible.
It's pretty incredible. It's one of the weirdest places I've ever recorded a podcast, so we got that happening. We got buddy me and Bobby McGee jamming in the background. It is a full room here at the Shady Pine Saloon. Should move the show here, I think. It's a better vibe.
I feel like it, hey. The atmosphere is incredible. I think this is the most southern atmosphere you're ever going to have on a podcast.
Pretty much.
Yeah. And behind you is a giant moose.
Yeah. Don't turn around.
Just keep going.
So Evan is here in Sydney to launch your new single, is that right?
Yeah, I mean, I launched my second single, Barefoot, about maybe a month ago now.
Okay.
So we're just kind of touring it.
Yeah, yeah.
Basically. Yeah.
That's awesome. How's the response been so far?
It's been really good.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's been awesome.
It's good to know, man. It's good to know.
Yeah.
So, as we were talking, you've actually heard a couple of these, so you know how these begin. I started by talking about where the initial interest in music came from and where it's changed from being something that you were being a casual observant of and then kind of becoming something that you wanted to do yourself. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about your upbringing and how music kind of factored into it.
That's a huge question.
Yeah.
I think I'll start by saying that mum and dad listened to a lot of music.
Right, yeah.
My dad has a huge CD collection.
Uh-huh.
He's very proud of. And it's beautifully organized, like the German that he is. And, yeah, I guess I spent a lot of my childhood sifting through that CD collection.
What kind of stuff do you find in there?
Every Beatles song ever.
Uh-huh. Good start.
That's a good start.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything, man. I feel like he literally has, like, from the Beatles to, like, the latest Eminem record.
Yeah, right.
It's gonna be on his shelf. And then they basically stopped producing CDs. Well, not stopped, you can still get them, but it was like, yeah, when like, the MP3s came about, he was gutted, because it was just, like, the end to his museum.
Right. Yeah, wow.
But I don't know. It's still cool. The CD collection still exists. And on top of that, my mom's a music teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that helped.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess.
So did you get piano lessons early on and stuff like that, or?
To be honest, I was kind of the stubborn son who who like didn't want instrumental lessons and who didn't want to be like theoretical about things. But my mom's strong and persistent, so she motivated me where possible, and she got me to do like double bass lessons, which was pretty cool.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, she got me piano lessons when I was in high school. That was like quite a big turning point for me, because my teacher was awesome. On a music and instrumental front, I was very lucky.
Yeah.
Because my mom just, I don't know, believed in me a lot and kind of knew that although I was stubborn, if I found the right thing, I'd stick to it. And I'd go deep as well.
Yeah, right. So where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Singapore, in Southeast Asia.
Right, okay. Yeah. So your family were living there at the time, or moved there when you were young, or like?
My parents got a job as teachers in Singapore when I was about one.
And, okay.
And we were based in Perth, so at about one and a half years old, I moved over to Singapore.
Right.
And yeah, I grew up there. I left when I was 18.
Right.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine there would have been like heaps of a music scene there. Like, were you kind of going to shows and like seeing bands when you were growing up?
It's a strange one. I sort of feel like it's gone from 0 to 10.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I know that there's an incredible music scene now.
Yeah.
Like, all genres. Like, there's a lot of international festivals that run through there now. They welcome, like, so many incredible international acts.
Yeah.
It's awesome. But when I was a kid, I think it was a little more sifted out, and I think Singapore as a country was quite picky and choosy about the music that they kind of let happen or let in.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that I was exposed to too much live music growing up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I went to a Red Hot Chili Peppers concert for my 13th birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember Alanis Morissette was like my first concert when I was 8 years old or something.
Sick.
And I still think Alanis is fucking awesome.
Yeah, she's the best. Yeah.
Jagged Little Pill still way up there for me.
Oh, hell yeah, it's a classic, man. Woo! Yeah, goddamn.
Don't even get me started. So if you can imagine, like, growing up in Singapore, I think growing up in Singapore was kind of like the most refined, like dose of maybe the mainstream music, because it was like, it was almost like the government was picking and choosing what you'd get.
So
like, I'd listen to Alanis, and then like Sheryl Crow would be like way left.
Yeah, right. So were you playing music and playing in bands in high school or anything like that?
I was, yeah.
Yeah?
I definitely was. I mean, I don't think I ever took it too seriously, but I was always kind of dabbling a little bit. Yeah.
What was the first time that you played live?
To be honest, it was probably with, like, the Junior Strings Orchestra or, like, double bass.
Oh, double bass, yeah.
Yeah. Playing, like, Pachelbel's Canon or something.
It's an easy one to remember, at least.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of music were you playing, like were you in bands or anything like that in high school, away from the marching bands or whatever?
I kind of feel like no more than anyone else, if you know what I mean. Like,
yeah,
there
right.
was a lot of people in my year group that were playing in bands and playing music and sharing the new Gorillaz or Limp Bizkit record, but I was like the rest of them. I wasn't like necessarily pursuing music like it was something that I wanted to do.
You didn't think it was like viable?
Yeah, I was just like a real dumb teenager trying to be cool. And I didn't think that I would have music in my future, so to speak.
Wow, yeah.
It all happened like way later for me.
Right.
Like post-university.
Right. So where'd you go to uni?
I went to uni in London, but I only went to uni for 6 months because a friend of mine who was living in London offered me a job in music.
Right.
Yeah.
Which was what?
To be a session musician for him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So what kind of stuff were you doing there? Like, was it more double bass stuff? Or like...
I was actually playing a bit of bass guitar.
Yeah.
And a little bit of guitar. Like, it was for a pop project called Primary One that he got me on for.
Right.
And that kind of led to other session musician jobs.
Right.
And that just kind of became my life for about 3 years.
Right. So doing straight up behind the scenes stuff.
I dropped out of uni like immediately because my buddy was like, "We're going on a tour with Ellie Goulding. Do you want to come?" And I was like, "I'm coming."
What?
Yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah.
So you were playing bass for Ellie Goulding?
No, we were supporting her on tour for like a month or so. Yeah.
Right. So what was this? What was this project called?
It was called Primary One.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, and it was kind of like, it was a pretty new project. An album didn't really get released. It kind of fell apart through the whole label system and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I wasn't involved. I was just a session musician who was tagged on a really cool ride.
Yeah, totally. Well, what was that like? You know,
it was incredible.
That's kind of throwing someone in the deep end for their first ever tour.
Yeah, I was so naive. Like, I mean, 19-year-olds these days that I find super bright compared to like how I remember myself.
Yeah.
And I mean, I was just a squirrel back then. I was so like unconscious to everything that was going on. We're on stage. Yep, we're playing. Like, to be honest, I just, it was incredible, but it's incredible in hindsight. I sort of feel like I was a bit of a space cadet back then.
Yeah. And that would have been big rooms too.
It was, they were like sold out O2 arenas and stuff like that.
Wow. How do you handle something like that, like going on stage, even especially knowing that they're not there to see you at all?
I feel as though I might have been like naive and dumb enough to like not pay attention to like the fears of getting on stage to a lot of people back then.
Yeah.
I feel like my older self now would find it a lot more difficult.
Right, yeah.
And I think the fact that I wasn't playing my own music maybe kind of detached from it a little bit.
Yeah, right.
But one thing's for sure, now that I'm kind of doing my own thing and I'm playing smaller venues to what I was doing as a session musician, it's made me realize that playing bigger venues with a lot of people is way easier.
Yeah, right.
Like, the bigger the venue, the kind of more isolated you feel, which is quite a strange thing.
Yeah.
Like, I played Glastonbury with that project, and like...
Holy shit!
It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's a massive thing to undertake, especially for something that's not your own project. Like,
I agree. But all in hindsight. At the time, I was just like...
Yeah, you literally didn't know anything else.
I was in the clouds.
Yeah, wow.
I was like, I'm doing this instead of university, and And hopefully one day I'll tell my parents.
So you were living over in London at this point?
I was.
So. Right, right. So at what point did that project kind of run its course? And what did you move on to from that?
Sort of in and amongst playing for that project, I played for a few other people. I played for a guy called Alex Metric, who's like...
Yeah,
he's like kind of a big touring DJ at the moment.
Yeah.
But he put out like a solo project at the time and sort of toured an EP or an album, I think it was. And
right.
Charlie XCX was on a couple tracks. And she toured with us as well. That was incredible. We played like Iceland Airwaves.
Wow.
Which was life-changing.
I can imagine, holy shit.
That was incredible. But again, I was just like the bass player in the distance, just kind of soaking it all up.
Oh man, it's nice work if you can get it.
Oh man, I'm not gonna lie, like as of yet, those are the best years of my life.
Yeah.
And it all feels like, honestly, very surreal to look back on it and be like, how did I get this random job and why am I here in Iceland?
Yeah.
Like pretending to play bass with like Charlie XCX singing.
Yeah. Oh man, that's incredible.
It was really cool.
Yeah.
I made some incredible friends.
What do you learn from doing stuff like that, touring stuff like that? Like, are you ever in the back of your head thinking, like, that one day you'll be doing this, like, for your own music? Or do you just kind of always think that you're just going to be out there, you know, as a behind-the-scenes session kind of guy?
I think the irony is that I came away with kind of like, whatever you do, never become a solo artist, never sign a record deal,
yeah,
never do any of this because it's insane. But I did exactly that. So it's all panned out of, yeah, but I learned so much.
Yeah,
I learned so much, and I think it taught me to be careful. I had a few friends who had some really tough times with their projects and sort of,
yeah,
you know, keeping hold of their projects and their music, you know, through major labels and things like that. And I think it taught me a lot. It taught me a lot about the industry. It taught me to be cautious. It taught me to be protective of my own work. It taught me a little bit about the technicals of playing live.
Yeah.
It gave me a lot of confidence, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah, right. So, like, how long does this go on? Like, how long do you keep doing this before that kind of, you start moving on to other things?
I'm not going to lie, my life very much feels like it's gone in, like, phases.
Yeah, sure.
Very clear phases.
Yeah, yeah.
And I do get interested in other activities and other things very easily.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love my hobbies, and I think at the same time, I'll always have this sort of undertone of music, and I think I'll always,
yeah,
be making music or playing music, and I think I'll always be involved in music, and I think, like we were saying about me growing up, I was just kind of like everyone else, just getting into music and playing in bands and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but I think it sort of feels like, whether I like it or not, music will always be around, and I'll always be doing it. That's kind of like what I've learned from all of this.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think, yeah, sometimes I'm more conscious of it, and sometimes I'm more unconscious of it, but it'll always be around.
Yeah.
So I think I'm just going to keep going until the day I die.
Why not? So, go from Primary One into the Alex Metric stuff. What comes up after that?
There was a management company at the time that was kind of like a part of the project who kind of mentioned, like, Steph, maybe you should do your own thing. Sorry, Steph is my real name, by the way. Evan's,
yeah,
my artist name. So when I say Steph, I refer to my real self. And they were like, this management company's like, Steph, maybe you should do your own thing, maybe you should start writing your own music. And the people that I was playing for as well were quite encouraging. They were sort of like, Steph, you know, you should be your own musician, you should start writing maybe, or, you know, take the next step. Because everyone that I was playing with and I guess working for were a lot older than me. And I sort of got the sense that they were moving on. It was like, I need to now do something, so...
How old were you at this point?
I was about 22, I'd say.
Okay.
Yeah. 22, 23, so...
Yeah.
The writing, like getting in the studio and recording and writing, all happened quite late for me, to be honest.
Yeah, right.
I definitely had written songs, like, as a teenager and, like, just for fun and stuff.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, like, a practice songwriter by any means. And I don't think I am. I still don't think I am. It's still very new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like it's imposter syndrome, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, I had an interview with Sydney Radio not too, like a couple hours ago.
Right.
And they said to me, like, how did this album come about, which I've yet to release?
Yeah.
Like, you know, how did you go about choosing songs and writing and stuff? I was like, this album's got 10 songs on it. It's pretty much all the songs I've ever written.
Yeah.
this is step one for sure.
Yeah. Right. So, when was the first time that you played your own music, like playing it live? What was that experience like?
It was intense.
Yeah.
Because
was it just you, or did you have other people playing?
No, I had my band with me, and for this project, this project's really new, and not many people have heard the record.
Yeah.
I've only put out 2 tracks, and it was probably about 6 or 7 months ago.
Right.
We played for the first time at Big Sound in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And then shortly after that, we played just across the road, right in Upper. And that was kind of after 2 years of being in the cave.
Yeah.
We were let's try and play the record, just like me and my buddies.
Yeah. What was that feeling from being someone that was literally practically anonymous, towards the back to, literally having that focus on you? Especially at something like Big Sam, which is, very, very kind of cutthroat, very industry kind of thing.
It was industry heavy.
Yeah.
It was scary.
Yeah,
it was like opening up the other side to yourself. Because being in the studio and hiding behind microphones and computers is very comfortable. And it's easy to get used to that. I feel like it really is the opposite to playing live, where you're exposed.
Yeah.
You feel so naked. Yeah. It was scary. That's all I can say. And that's it. Scary. I'm gonna stick with scary. That's all I remember.
Has that subsided somewhat as you played a little bit more?
Definitely.
Yeah.
It definitely has. I feel like every show we play is a lot of practice, and I feel like we're learning quickly.
Yeah, sure. What have you done since those shows? Have you kind of started playing a bit more? Do you kind of have a bigger plan for what you want out of this new project?
Absolutely. Playing live is, it's like a new creative project. And it's we've got a blank canvas, and it's we can do whatever we want. And I've become addicted to that. I just want to add things, take things away. I keep changing things. My band are losing their mind because I'm adding more percussion and more drums. And they're how are we going to fly with all this shit? I'm having so much fun experimenting with a live show.
Yeah.
And I'm currently speaking to a cellist and a viola player about joining us at the next gig in Melbourne, which would be really cool because there's quite a few layers of strings on the record.
Oh, cool.
So it'd be really cool to get that on. Yeah.
What was kind of the inspiration for making this music? Were you kind of looking at any other artists in particular and kind of picturing yourself doing the same sort of thing? Or was it just kind of a culmination of everything that you've worked on previously?
I sort of feel like I had quite a bit of time to think about how I wanted to approach the writing.
Yeah.
Just because maybe that had a lot to do with the fact that I was kind of told by other people that it would be a cool idea for me to write something.
Yeah.
And that kind of let me think about it for a while and consider whether, maybe it'd be something that I want to try and do. And I was watching a lot of films and reading comic books at the time, and I kind of knew that I wanted to make an album, not like a couple singles or an EP or anything. I knew that I wanted to dive into a record and that I'd want to try and tell somewhat of a story with a record.
Yeah.
Not to say that I wanted to write a concept album, but I wanted to have a narrative and I wanted to paint a picture. I wanted to try and replicate feelings that I got from a lot of the films that I was watching and things like that. I think I took quite a calculated approach.
Yeah, sure.
Which is maybe the German half of me coming forward.
Make sure it gets very efficient. Yeah.
It will be strict, it will be straight, and it must tell a story. From track 1 bis 10.
Oh, fancy.
I joke about that, but it's so true.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I was so clean about the recording process, and everything had to be perfect.
Yeah.
Everything is to the click, and all the live drums and string parts, they're live in front of mics, there's a lot of air, but everything's cleaned up to a point that I'm happy with.
Right, right.
That's it.
Is that something that you're, those inhibitions, are you able to kind of let them go when you're performing? Or is it worse? Just because you've spent so much time, you know, in that very professional environment.
I think you'd have to ask my band. They don't know about the process of producing a record, but I wouldn't be surprised if they told you that it's fairly strict. We have a lot of fun with it, though. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's humour behind the there's humour behind the strict.
I mean, so at this point, now that you spent all this time, you know, not so much in the shadow, but like, you know, kind of working kind of anonymously and working behind the scenes on all this stuff, like. Do you feel like you're at a good point now where you're able to confidently pursue, you know, something that's identifiably yours? Like, was there ever kind of doubts or inhibitions about doing that?
There's always doubts. There's definitely always doubts. And I think I'm a fairly confident person, generally speaking. But I've definitely come to realize that music, especially playing live and things, can take you into a room that you're not necessarily familiar with, where you're going to feel exposed and new, regardless of how confident you are about it.
Yeah.
It's always changing.
Yeah.
Your emotions are always changing. And I think what I've managed to do is maybe do my best at times to separate my sort of A life from my B life and say, this isn't necessarily, you know, at the heart of my own reality. I can push myself away from the music and the album, and I think I'm becoming really good at that. And I think that helps erase a lot of those doubts and inhibitions that I might have. I hope I'm making sense.
no, completely.
That definitely felt like quite a deep question. I was like, whoa. Definitely stuff that I haven't asked myself, I'll tell you that.
Well, if we can get it out of your system now, you know, you'll be able to answer properly the next time.
Yeah, this is therapy. I'm not gonna lie. This definitely feels like some kind of therapy. And I'm all in.
Ding! Oh, you owe me about $100 now.
Dude.
So we will wrap it up here, but before we do that, I have to listen to all of my guests, and now it is your turn. I want to know about the best and worst shows that you have ever played.
Best and worst shows. Oh my god. I think hilariously, I'm going to have to say that the worst show I've ever played was the session musician position show that I played at Glastonbury.
Really? Because that show was your worst show ever?
I honestly think it was, because it was on the dance stage, I think it was called, in a fairly huge tent. And the only person watching was a dude out front who was naked. And he was just sort of like, I sort of got the impression he was shouting like curse words at us, and it was a scary experience. I felt fairly tormented, even though it really wasn't my show. I'm gonna have to say that's the worst one.
Yeah.
Because I was like, whoa, we're playing Glastonbury.
Yeah.
It's not my project, but I'm gonna be on stage at Glastonbury.
Yeah.
And I get there, it's just a giant tent with a naked man running around swearing at us at like 1:30 in the afternoon. And I think like to like put the cherry on the cake, I think the NME in England wrote about that gig, like. Wrote about this naked guy at the Primary One concert.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that went down. That's
probably,
how I that's
probably
how
got
I
a better review than you guys, you know?
Yeah, hell yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Nah, but good times. They were really good times. But I haven't really had any bad gigs, to be honest. I haven't played that many shows with my Evan Clark project yet. They've all been pretty cool. They've all been pretty scary.
Yeah.
Because
right.
It's still quite new.
Yeah.
And I think we've only just crossed 10 gigs or something like that.
Yeah,
It still feels very fresh.
So overall, like, over every show they've ever played, what's the best one?
The best one was not too long ago. We played upstairs at the Gasometer in Melbourne.
Okay.
We filled the place, which felt incredible, considering that I'd only released one track, which was Sleep.
Yeah.
The first track that I put out. And it just went off. Like, I got locked in the bathroom before we went on stage. My brother had to like come and kick the door down.
Jesus.
So that I could go on and play. The manager came up and told us that there was too many people in the venue, which was awesome. It was like, yeah, the excitement was there. The smoke machine was a little faulty, so we were smoking everyone out.
Oh, Christ.
It was just awesome. Like, so many bad things were happening that made it amazing.
Yeah. Just one of those imperfectly perfect shows.
Yeah. but we felt the music, you know what I mean? And it's yeah. and it's funny because the music went well. It sort of trumped all those ridiculous things that were happening. and it was a powerful gig for us.
Oh,
it really was. Yeah. And I think it's made me believe that, you know, there are incredible times to be had.
Oh yeah, indeed. Best of luck, for sure. Yeah. All right, Stefan, the floor is yours. Plug now or forever hold your peace.
Hi, my name's Evan Clark. You can listen to my two singles,
yep.
Sleep and Barefoot,
uh-huh.
which are out there.
Uh-huh.
Spotify, yep. iTunes.
Tick.
What are the other platforms? I can't remember.
Are you on Tidal?
I have no idea.
Let's find out.
I hope so.
What's up, Jay-Z?
Listen to everyone's music. Be open-minded. Share everyone's music. If you like it, buy it, share it. Do whatever you can. Let's just keep it going.
Perfect. When's your album coming out?
Hopefully sometime September, November this year.
Sick. Yeah. Excellent. What's it called?
It's called Deepest Creatures.
Deepest Creatures. I love it.
Thank
Wonderful.
You.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it.
Thank you so much, David. It's been awesome.
This has been an absolute pleasure. Stefan, thank you so much for your time,
thank
man.
Thank you so much. And thanks to the reindeer.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Anything you want to say? No, he's a silent type.
He is silent but deadly.
Indeed. Thanks again, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm David Jim Jump, and all my friends are in Barman.